Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today has been all about Mark Grandy's emotions. It's been very wobbly. It's been very wobbly. The Debo thing really fired a lot of people up, and that one I get. It doesn't offend me, but I understand it's hard to hear. The Acho one, and if you're just joining us, we'll play it again. Grandy, and anybody who doesn't dig this, I got to push back here. When Acho says they don't even need all of these stars, first of all, I stop my brain from going too far. It doesn't. I don't think he means like they don't need any good players. Kyle Shanahan's that wonderful. Stick any old guy out there. But here's why he's absolutely right. And I'm going to use two specific pieces of information to prove it. First of all, I have all the scars and the L's on my forehead for years of supporting Jimmy Garoppolo when much of this town thought he stunk, or at best was, as the kids say, mid. Okay? The second he left here, he couldn't even hold, quite frankly, a backup job in the NFL. He made Devontae Adams go to Netflix to get his frustrations out. That's how bad he was. But Kyle Shanahan's system took him to a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl. So couldn't I use that as evidence that Kyle is largely the straw that stirs the drink? And yes, he has got a resume of elevating players within his system. And this can apply to Brock too, if you want, to a degree. I think it's just a wonderful fit. But that he's the straw that stirs the drink. And here's the point. He can win with multiple groups of players. Some more physically impressive than others. Here's the second piece of data that I'm going to use, which is going into this weekend, the San Francisco 49ers are missing their two best offensive options. Can I get away with that statement?
Sure.
Their two best offensive options.
Yep.
They're missing both of them. Yet, on the road, in the division, I understand the injuries on the other team too, but on the road, in the division, and missing their two top offensive options, they are the single biggest Vegas favorite of the entire weekend. How about that?
Right.
Doesn't that back up what Acho is saying, which I think essentially is take some stars away? Niners are still good.
Yeah, and I think about 2019 more than I do 2024 when I hear Acho's comments, because I think about that team that Kyle Shanahan quote unquote took to the Super Bowl. And you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback, and Acho had it close talking about the running backs when he said Breida, Mostert, and Wilson. It actually was Tevin Coleman as well. None of them are stars. And if you want to look at who they had on their team, you had Fred Warner in his second year, not yet a star. Now, Fred Warner's a star, and he's probably going to the Hall of Fame. Dre Greenlaw was a rookie, not yet a star. George Kittle had one really good year.
Yep.
He was on his way to being a star. You had Emmanuel Sanders, not a star. Defensively, you had Dee Ford, who was never a star.
Oh, he was a former very good player.
Fine.
Yep.
Richard Sherman at the tail end of his career, and he's probably going to the Hall of Fame. You had Nick Bosa, very young player. I believe he was a rookie as well. So these were people that were not yet stars. And what I hear Acho saying is when Brock Purdy gets that big contract that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have the ability to draft the next group of Warner, Greenlaw, Bosa, Kittle, Debo, who was also in his, I think, rookie year or second year on that Super Bowl team. So it doesn't mean that you can't do it if you have stars, but it also means you can do it if you don't have stars.
Let's listen to it again. Emmanuel Acho on the facility on FS1.
Want to dismantle the myth that the Niners are going to be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid.
Because he still do got it.
Like, for those that don't realize, Talanoa Hufanga was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. Fred Warner, third-round pick, future Hall of Famer. George Kittle was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. The Niners know how to draft, particularly late in the draft. Yeah. So to say that the Niners will be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid is ignorant, it's uneducated, it's uninformed, and it has a lack of research as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers. Not only will they have talent even when Brock Purdy gets paid, Kyle Shanahan is the machine. Yeah. Y'all realize Jordan Mason, Christian McCaffrey's backup running back, undrafted Jordan Mason, is on pace for 2,100 yards? No, he won't get there. Mm. But if he started all season, he'd probably get to 1,500, 1,600. Yeah. So it's not even like the Niners need all of these stars. They went to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey, with Fred, with Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson, and Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, I just think all he's saying is that without a lot of these stars, without this one, without that one, the Niners are a hell of a program, and they're always going to be good. I don't, and I agree wholeheartedly. I've been like, this is a different form of what I said to you a week and a half ago when I get knocked off when people go, window's closing, window's about to close.
Right.
Open the damn window. You're about to sign a 24-year-old quarterback who you love. That's not the end of the window. That's not the end of the road. Boys and men.
Thank you.
That's the beginning. We're at the launching point. And I firmly believe that Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Parag, the rest of that group, they will continue to, by the way, miss on some of their draft picks and hit on a lot of their draft picks and acquisitions in a way that will allow them to construct a very good roster around a quarterback, even one who's paid.
Certainly, and I know that Mike Florio had a similar comment, and I hope we play that a little bit later in the show about the same idea about what they've been able to do. And as Emmanuel Acho was laying that out, I was thinking about the 2019 team. Raheem Mostert, undrafted, 772 yards that year. Matt Breida, undrafted, 623 yards. Tevin Coleman, third-round pick, cast off from Atlanta, 544 yards. That's nearly 1,900 yards on the ground from a couple of undrafted and a 26-year-old cast off. So does the window close when Purdy gets paid? Of course not. And it stays open because of what Acho was talking about with all of these fines and what Kyle Shanahan does as the difference maker.
I mean, at the bottom of all of this, what I think he's saying is that the Niners are a really good outfit and a really good team because of Kyle Shanahan. That's what I think he's saying. He called them the machine. I thought that was Pat Burrell. Maybe it was Kyle Shanahan under that mask. Anyway, I agree with that. I wonder if all of the, do you have a room at Shanahan's house? I wonder, are we doing that to Acho now today? Because that's what he just said. That's what he just said. This team is really good because of Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I don't know what more evidence you need than to look at how badly he botched the draft, where he traded two firsts, actually three firsts, to move up and get Trey Lance.
Yep.
Trey Lance becomes a bust for this team. I think he might be a bust overall. The jury might still be out. I don't think that the jury's out. The jury's coming back into the box to deliver the verdict. But the point is, you squandered three first-round picks on a quarterback who couldn't play for you, and you didn't miss a beat. So if that isn't exhibit A on how Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were able to withstand that, overcome that, and yes, and I'm looking at you, Mr. Lanuza, principal at a school where my wife works, who's been critical of John Lynch. I'm looking at you, sir, because he's critical of John Lynch.
He's shaking down principals at schools?
No doubt.
Okay. I'm here for that.
He and I have a little bit of a side beef, which is playful, friendly beef. But all you need to do is look at how badly they blew that and how that didn't affect them one iota.
No, like it happened in Carolina, and look what's happening.
Oh, God.
People are going to get fired. People are getting benched. People are getting cut. It's a total mess.
Two games into the year.
And the 49ers made this colossal error and haven't missed the NFC title game since.
Right. Say that again.
The Niners made this colossal error and haven't missed the NFC title game since. Come on, Grandy. Look at his face. Come on, man. Get on the bus, Gus.
Can you agree that the Niners have had the most talented roster in the NFL the last couple of years?
Yes.
Yes. And they have fallen short of winning a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
My only argument, and there's no way you could possibly disagree with this, is they haven't done it with this talent. How can you expect them to do it with even less talent?
Because I think that you and him are having different conversations. I think there's a different ending.
Is it a standards thing?
Well, you're saying, you're putting in my mind, you're saying that he's saying the 49ers don't need all of these stars to win the Super Bowl.
That's what it sounded like to me.
I think he's saying the 49ers don't need all of these stars to be really good and a factor every year.
And obviously, I want to win the Super Bowl.
Of course. Of course. But do you see the little, just a little difference there? That's what that's my read on it.
My read is that if you want to go back through the last, I don't even know how far back you want to go, but we could look at every roster every year and you could tell me who has the best roster. And I would bet that more times than not, the team with the best roster did not win the Super Bowl. And last year is a good example where you just said that the Niners have had the best roster, and they did last year and they didn't win the Super Bowl, and Kansas City beat Philadelphia. Philadelphia might have had a better roster than Kansas City. We know that the Rams didn't have the best roster. And Tampa Bay with Tommy, when they beat Kansas City, was that the best roster? And we can go all the way back in time. The team with the best roster, more often than not, doesn't win the Super Bowl.
That's subjective in and of itself.
Of course.
I bet I could find a bunch of people to be like, you want to know who's got the best roster? Whoever has Patrick.
Right.
I don't care who the rest of the players are. There are people who think that. I don't know that they're terribly wrong, by the way. So, you know, that in and of itself is subjective. Let's hear from the people. 888-957-9570. What say you? The kind of newer question, we can still do the Debo stuff, but the newer question is essentially, are the 49ers just good because Kyle Shanahan? And therefore, it will sustain. Or are there other reasons? And do you have a different outlook? Matt in San Rafael here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, guys. Two quick hits before I talk about what you just mentioned. One is, I agree with Debo that the Niners had the best roster last year. If you switch quarterbacks, I think the Niners win going away. And this is the Mahomes factor that you just talked about. The second take is, I think the Hargrave signing is going to go down as one of the biggest mistakes of this regime. The third thing is, I agree with Acho in that the Niners are always going to be competitive with Kyle. But here's my twist on it. Kyle wants his players to play exactly the way he wants them to play. They're like little pawns that he's moving around on a chessboard. And I think that's good enough to get you really far, but the question remains, playing that way, making your team that way, is that enough to win a Super Bowl? Or does Kyle, I said this yesterday when I called, does Kyle have to change? Kyle have to adapt? Because I think there has to be some of that.
Matt, can I ask you a question? Do you feel like there are other coaches around the league, and I'm going to admit this is a little unfair the way I'm going to characterize it, but because you said that Kyle's got his players as if they're like game pieces on a
little
board.
Little pawns, he said.
And he's moving them around. Are you under the impression that let's take a Sirianni or a Dan Campbell, guys who have that different sort of like blue collar feel about them? Are you under the impression that they're just like, all right, guys, go play, go do it how you like, and I hope it's going to work out. We'll see you at the post game party. What do you think, Matt?
So I'll say that those coaches are much more like that. They have coordinators that they rely on. Kyle does not have an offensive coordinator that he relies on. I'm not talking about the defense. I'm only talking about the offense.
Right.
You talk about Purdy and the way he plays, and Purdy's like, I know what Kyle wants me to do, and I do it. And that's one of the issues that people have calling him a system quarterback, which is crap in my mind. I mean, playing quarterback in the NFL, I think, is the hardest.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. they find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Position in any sport that there is. It is shocking. I can't imagine what it's like. That said, Kyle tries to make it easier on the quarterback to not have to make secondary decisions to say, if this happens, I go here. And I get it because it works almost all the time. But it doesn't work all the time. And you saw it on Sunday because Purdy wanted to go places and those places weren't there. And that's the sort of the nuance that I'm trying to create. I Kyle's a great coach.
Of course.
Greatest coach I think we've had. It's Bill Walsh.
I get it, Matt. Matt, it's another good call. Thank you for calling. I'd say this about the whole idea of, like, Kyle doesn't rely on coordinators. Sure he does. He relies on a coordinator on the other side of the ball than his own expertise, which is what almost every coach in the NFL does. Bill Belichick, you think Bill Belichick had a defensive coordinator that he gave a rip about? No.
Nick Sirianni has two coordinators.
And why does he have two coordinators?
Because he's probably not great at either thing.
Because he's a defensive guy. And last year, that defense in the second half of the year in particular, starting with the Niners going on six consecutive touchdown drives, that defense got torched. And so they went, you know what, Nick? Tell you what, you're going to keep your job. Introduce yourself to Vic Fangio. That's calling the defense now.
How's that working out for you?
Not you. Not a great start, Bob.
Not great.
Not great. Yeah,
not great in Monday
not
night,
great,
for
but,
sure.
But that's my point. Like most NFL head coaches, even if they've got someone that has that that label, if you're a defensive guy, you're in charge of the defense and you hire an OC. If you're an offensive guy, you're in charge of the offense and you hire a DC. And that's what we got in San Francisco.
Right, and many people are critical of Kyle Shanahan for his game management, and if it gets to a point where they start to lose more than they win, then there'll be pressure for him to actually bring in an offensive coordinator to unburden him from that duty so that he can focus on areas where maybe he falls short.
You think that would ever happen?
If they struggle, absolutely.
I got a hard time believing. Kyle Shanahan is in position where he's like, you want someone else to call plays? I'm out.
It's not so much that you want someone else to call plays as much as it is you want somebody to help with game management. Because if you want to criticize Kyle during a game of anything, game management is the one area you could look at.
That's fair.
Whether it's knowing the overtime rules or using your timeouts correctly
clock
at the
management.
End of the half, clock management. There are things that he doesn't do in some people's eyes that are worthy of criticism. And that's where you might get to a spot where, you know, you bring in somebody else and, you know, you already have Brandon Staley on the staff who is on the defensive side of the ball, but somebody with head coaching experience who I'm not saying that he's going to be put in that spot, but if this season doesn't go great, you might hear a little bit more of a clamor for him to get some help in some areas.
I'm looking for a guy who knows football. He knows how to run an offense, doesn't need to call plays. And I want him to be a large person, bigger than average person, and I want his first name to be Tom. And then Kyle could have Big Tom, and Big Tom could just follow him around on the sideline and intimidate other people and help him with clock management.
Oh, you're talking about Big Dom.
No, Big Tom. They've got Big Dom. I want Big Tom.
Tom Brady.
That's fine.
Or just some random guy named Tom.
Anyone named Tom. But Brady's good. Brady's fine. If broadcasting for $40 million a year doesn't work out, sure.
Well, he's already a part owner of the Raiders, so that's going to be something that might be preventative.
How about Dog Trainer in Milpitas? Hi, Dog Trainer. What's going on?
How you doing? Hey, like the show today, like the conversation. Quickly, the Debo thing. The gold standard, I think, would be the Patriots when both Belichick and Brady were there. I can't imagine Belichick not firing a player or finding a player. I mean, Belichick had rules. You don't pop off on media like that. You don't talk about the team like that. It just seems some of the things the 49ers do just seem to be what Brady and Belichick would see as immature. Number two, I heard a story once that Belichick gave all the photos to a few bellmen at a hotel and paid them to stay up all night on their shift and keep an eye on all the doors and the rooms of all the players. And if anybody went in or out after curfew on the road, that they were to report to Belichick, and he had them do it so all his assistant coaches could sleep. I don't know if that story's true or not. But the last thing is, just like the guy hinted earlier, Los Gatos High School, second-string quarterback. San Jose State, third-string quarterback. Bill Walsh hardly ever played. But you know what? He knew he wanted to coach, and he always was a great offensive mind. And look at the tree that came behind him from his training and teaching. And yet he always had an offensive coordinator. So I don't know why Kyle doesn't do the same thing.
But he never had an offensive coordinator that had the same role as other offensive coordinators. Do you know what I mean, Doug Trainer? Like, that's just like, that's kind of the way the tree in the NFL, thanks for calling. That's the way the tree in the NFL works. A lot of guys, you know what I mean? Like, how about Mike McDaniel? This is an example. Kyle has not, like, never had someone on offense that's allowed to talk to him. I feel like we pitch it this way sometimes. Like, Kyle is over there. He's a mad scientist. There's steam coming out of his ears. And if you're an offensive coach and you talk to him, you're fired. Like, I don't think that's what's going on. I know what the perception is, but Mike McDaniel, I think, was his run game coordinator at the time. But that's another offensive voice who, by the way, has turned into a very, very smart, some would say brilliant young coach in the league.
And the new hot name is another guy from the tree, and that's the Saints offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak.
Yep.
So you tell me that Clint Kubiak was told to sit quietly in the corner and not offer up his insights and his thoughts and his opinions? I don't think that that's the case with Kyle Shanahan. I would imagine he sits down in offensive meetings and invites all kinds of opinions and schemes and thoughts. And when it comes time to make the decisions, he makes them because he's the head coach and he's the offensive coordinator. But you're right, Mark. You can't look at the lineage of coaches who've gone on from the Shanahan tree to do big things, head coach, coordinator, etc., and think that they were just dummies here who was like on the coattails.
Yeah, I actually can't speak to this. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan, like, when it's time to call a play, obviously Kyle's in charge. But are we under the impression that if anybody has another idea, Kyle's just like, shut up?
I don't think that. I can't imagine that's the way it goes.
I don't know. And I'm being a little theatrical
here. Of course, yep.
But like, are you allowed to be like, hey buddy, what about this? And Kyle might be like, oh, that was a good idea. I don't know. I really don't. Mike McDaniel would be the one to ask.
Yeah, and I'm most interested by this season and his newfound desire to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, how about that?
When you've added Mr. Go For It on Fourth Down, Brandon Staley, to the coaching staff, albeit on the defensive side, is Brandon Staley influencing Kyle Shanahan's newfound aggressiveness? That's something that I'd love to find out. I don't know if we ever will.
You think it's Staley?
It seems like they're going for it now more often than they have in previous years.
What if it's Brock?
And Brock's saying...
Brock's like, I met Dan Campbell in the NFC title game last year, totally. Coach. And he really, I thought was inspirational. I think we should start doing things like him. So when it's fourth down, we go for it. Every time.
Every time.
Coach, what do you think? I like it and stuff.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.